This morning we are continuing our revival, and today we're talking about what it means to be saved. And today we're talking about salvation meaning eternal life. Salvation includes eternal life. And I remember a story I heard many years ago when preparing for this, and it kind of brings us, I think, maybe to point. Back in the day, bus ministries were really, really popular, and everybody got an old school bus and painted up, and they'd go around the neighborhoods and try to get kids to come to church. And so this little church had done that, and this pastor was driving around, and he saw a little boy on the side of the road, and so he stopped the bus and opened the door, and he said, "Son, do you want to go to heaven?" The little boy said, "No, sir, I don't." The pastor said, "You don't want to go to heaven when you die?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, when I die, I thought you was getting up a bus right now." I think sometimes we think in those terms. Yeah, I want to go to heaven someday, way out there in the future, far enough that I can't really comprehend it, but I don't want to think about it right now. Well, this morning we're going to look at being saved means having eternal life. Eternal life is a complex term. Life being the noun and eternal being the adjective or modifier. And so you put the two together. We're not just talking about life. We're talking about eternal life. And that is a really big thing. Our scripture this morning is printed on the back of your bulletin if you would like to read it there. John 3:16. A verse that I imagine most of you learned in Bible school or when you were in Sunday school as a child. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." May God add to the reading of his scripture. As I said, every eternal life is a complex and difficult concept for you and I to wrap our head around. I think looking at the part of that that is life, and then we will look at eternal life, as we get older, we have a much better ability, I think, to understand time than we do when we're young. Not that I'm old, I'm not, but someday I'll be old, and I'm sure I'll understand it much better, you know, when I get there. Now, seriously, when I was 30, 50 seemed to be really old, right? And then now, 65 is not really old. That's still pretty much in your prime. And I know there's going to be a time, but not yet, right? So time I understand better than I did when I was a kid. And a part of what we're looking at is time. To illustrate life, I want to use a couple of examples or a couple of narratives that I remember. The first one, many years ago, I was at my mother-in-law's house for a holiday. I don't remember which one, Thanksgiving, Christmas, something like that. And by my mother-in-law's house, there was a railroad track. And there on that track, there was a long straight stretch, about a mile, maybe a mile and a half long. And as was my custom during holidays, when everybody got to grandma's and kind of got settled in, I'd grab a shotgun or something and take off to the woods. And so I did this day. And as I walked down that railroad track, I went to the very far east end where the track met a bridge and went across a little shoal. And, of course, I didn't want to get out on that bridge. But I was down there, and there this track was really steep. The banks were steep on either side. And as I started back, I could see a train coming. And I knew I couldn't get back to the house or back to where it was wide in time to get completely away from the track. So I thought, I'm just going to stand here and wait till it passes. And as I saw the train coming, it's a long way away, a mile or a mile and a half away. And it didn't look like it was going that fast, but I knew it was. And strangely enough, I couldn't really hear it. The wind, I guess, blowing in a different direction. You see it coming, but it wasn't that dramatic. But when it got close, it became a much different story. Trains are huge. They are big pieces of equipment, and they are heavy. It was going probably 60 miles an hour, seemed faster, but it was cooking along really well. As it went by, the ground was shaking, and it was loud. And to be honest, it was frightening. The wheels rolling and the train kind of weaving back and forth, and I was about 20 feet from it. And I remember wishing that I could get further away. I really kind of wanted to break and run, but I didn't. I stood there like a scared rabbit and waited until it went by. And it was loud and there was a lot of noise and there was wind coming off of it. It seemed like it took quite a while, though it really was just a few minutes, around 120 train cars. And then as it got past, as soon as it went out of sight just a little bit, I couldn't hear it anymore. The ground was still. It was peaceful. It was quiet. It was calm again. Life is like that. When we are young, we're anxious for life to get going. I remember as a kid, I wanted to get out there and I wanted to do, you know, whatever I could do. I wanted to drive. I wanted to go here. I wanted to go there. I wanted to have the biggest gun and shoot it a lot, and there went my hearing, and that sort of thing. I could see life coming, and I wanted it. And then when it finally got there, when I got out on my own and got my job or something of a job and got married and had a couple of kids, life became loud, and sometimes it was scary. I remember when our oldest was born, I was scared to death. I didn't know what was going to happen. Would the child be okay? Would the mother be okay? What was going to happen this way and that? Were we going to be able to pay for it? What if? What if? And I was afraid. It was a scary, noisy time. Later, in different times during my career, there'd be financial downturns. I can remember nights laying awake worrying about how are we going to do this and how are we going to do that, how are we going to pay this bill, et cetera, et cetera. Life was complicated and it was noisy. Of course, when the kids started driving and when that sort of thing happened and et cetera, you used to worry about that and on and on and on. And now, as I say, I'm not old, but things are slowing down. The train is moving away a little bit. I've reached a point where I realized for the first time since 1982, my sons are not dependent on me any longer. If I die today, they'll go on. They have their careers. They have their ability. For so many years, they were dependent on me to bring in a living, me and my wife to bring in the money and provide the food and shelter and so on and so forth. That's not the case. And there are a lot of days now that Becky and I sit around the house and it's just the two of us. And we do things and we talk and what have you, but it's quiet. It's not as loud as it was back a decade or so ago. That's the way life goes. That is life. It is like a freight train that is rolling by and it's noisy and it's loud, etc. And it passes. And it passes for every one of us. Like the train, life goes by. And we see it come and we see it leave. Time is the one absolute reality that cannot be stopped. Time happens. And I think my second kind of example to help us understand that. My father, Jack T. Harrell, was born August 15th, 1916. He left this world on September the 8th, 1970. He lived 54 years and 17 days on this earth. Next October, October of 2024, he will have been gone from this earth exactly the same amount of time that he was alive on this earth. Now, I'm kind of a numbers person. You know, I live and die on accounting and on numbers. But that astounds me that his life will be over exactly as much time as he was alive. And after that date, every day, the time that my dad was alive will be only a fraction of the time since he was alive on the earth. And that fraction will get smaller, and it will get smaller, and it will get smaller until it becomes insignificant, like a grain of sand on a giant beach. Now, my dad was not anyone to be in history or to be remembered. There aren't many people alive who knew him. My brothers and sister and I are about the only people I know of that knew him. And when we're gone in a few decades, there won't be anybody alive on this earth who knew him. Certainly he wasn't someone who is recorded in history. There may be his name on a roll or something where he served in the military, but that's about it. Nobody will look at that. Nobody will know. His life on this earth will be lost in the abyss of time. That's just a reality. And if it happened with him, it will happen with me. And it will happen with you. That's life. We're here for a short time. We live, and it's noisy. It certainly was noisy for my dad. He lived through the Great Depression, went through World War II, saw most of Europe from the seat of a Hellcat tank destroyer. He saw a lot of things, and it was noisy. But it's over, right? And his life on this earth has ceased, and it will never be again on this earth. The same is true for you and I. It doesn't matter how much you acquire, doesn't matter what titles you have, it doesn't matter what you look like or what you owned or what you did, your life will be over in a short time. And your life on this earth will never exist again. Within 100 years, there won't be anybody on this earth who knew you. And maybe someone will have a picture or a video, but that's it. They won't know who that was in that video. That's life. We can't stop that. So, what happens to... There are two different groups of people that will be separated. Our scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So God gave his Son so that doesn't have to be the end. And there will be a separation there based on those who believe and those who do not. And I want to try to look at that for a moment. First of all, what happens to those people who live their lives without Jesus? It's a fair question. What happens to them? You know, they're people and they have lives, and it doesn't matter how good or bad they are, they're still people. So what happens? In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, I want us to look at that scripture just a moment. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fared sumptuously every day. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can go back and look at it yourself. He had the best of everything. He lived his life and he lived it to the fullest, and he died. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Eventually, he was lost. His life was lost. His soul was lost. Even his identity. Being a rich man who live sumptuously as the Bible says he did, who had servants and what have you. I'm sure he had titles. Maybe he had the title ruler. Maybe he had the title judge. Maybe whatever. He had titles. But when he gets to this point, it just calls him a certain rich man, generic. He even lost his identity. He was aware. He knew where he was at. He could see Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. He didn't change from being the person he had been on earth. A lot of us have this notion that when we die, there will be some massive change and we won't be the same people anymore. We'll be something completely different. The rich man didn't change. He looked up and he saw Lazarus. Lazarus was the beggar who laid at his gate, said desiring just to have the crumbs that fell off his table. And the rich man looked up and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus." He's a servant, right? Send Lazarus. He hadn't changed his mentality at all. And later, he said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus back to my brothers to warn them." Again, he still saw Lazarus as a servant, as less than he was. His life ended on this earth, but it continued. Our lives don't stop. They will continue. I can't imagine how foolish it would be to think that everything that is in this world, everything that is here, from the finest minute detail to the absolute enormity of space and of the universe, is that all something that the moment your eyes close in death, it just goes away? Is it a light switch that goes off? No, it isn't. I don't believe God created all that there is for just a moment that we are alive. The rich man realized things were not well, and he was in a bad place. It got even worse. Revelations chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. John, the Revelator, seeing a vision of what would come to pass, says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's death. That's a final death. Whenever people have lived through this world and thumbed their nose at God and said, "I'll do it my way. I'll do what I want." We have a friend whose daughter is lost. I mean, I can't think of a better way of saying it. And she's trying to be kind of in your face about it. So much so that she posts blasphemy and curses God continually and curses her mother and dad. And I mean, gets vile. When someone who lives that way their entire life, and I pray to God every day that she come back and get her life straightened up. But if you live that way, if you curse God, if you say, "I'm important, God's not, I am the big person," when you leave this earth, you'll wake up in hell, and it won't get better. It's permanent. Well, I know that's a cheery thought, and I'm sure everybody likes hearing that, right? What happens to those people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ when they leave this earth? There are some things to understand about being a Christian, about eternal life. To be saved means eternal life. And it starts here. For me, hearing my grandson sing in church this morning is a part of eternal life. Seeing the look on your faces, feeling the warmth when we meet each other, when we know that people care about me and that I have people that I can genuinely care about, That's part of eternal life. I don't have to wait until I die to enjoy heaven. I enjoy it now, here, in the present, and I do every day. Life, and you may have heard me say this before, I guess that's part of getting older, you repeat yourself. Life sometimes is a thing that is just full of grace and beauty. And then sometimes it's like a knife fight. It's brutal. It's terrifying. We all go through those things. But here's the thing. As a child of God, as a born-again Christian, it's all beauty. I don't care what happens. The song we sang this morning, "It Is Well With My Soul." I'm sure most, if not all of you, know the story of Horatio Spafford. Lost his wife, lost his children, lost his fortune, lost nearly everything. And he sat on the back of that ship and said, "It's well with my soul." That's heaven. I don't know how to explain that better. To know tonight, if I don't live until morning, it's okay. I'll be in the presence of God. And if the people that I love, if some of them don't live until morning, it's okay. I'll see them again. God blesses the lives of His people. Psalms 1, and I love that the psalmist David began the book of Psalms this way. Psalms 1, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now, am I telling you that if you'll be a Christian, you'll make just a ton of money and you'll always be healthy? No, absolutely not. What I am saying is, during the hardest, worst times of your life, if your heart and your soul is right with God, it'll be okay. The Apostle Paul said, "I have found whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. To live is Christ, to die is gain." I don't care what happens tomorrow, I'll be okay. We worry about our government, we worry about the stock market, we worry about all these things, and I'll be honest, I look at it and I don't see how America continues to go the way it's going. I don't know how we continue increasing the debt so dramatically and how we keep doing all of the really stupid things it seems that we're doing and all of the sin that we're getting involved in. But I know this, if the United States collapses tomorrow, God's still on the throne. He still has it under His control. And I'll be all right. And my family will be all right. You see, we're children of God. We're not children of the U.S. government. We're not children of the state of Texas. We're children of God. When a Christian dies, I believe this as much as I can, someone will be there to meet him. When a Christian dies, when we close our eyes in death, there's someone there waiting for us. Lazarus, it says, when he died, of course, the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. He was by himself. When Lazarus died, the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. There was someone there to get him. And if you go through deaths of a number of the saints in the Bible, there was always someone there to get them. When people who are right with God, when they leave this earth, they step into a new life and there's someone there to greet them. When a Christian dies, they hear God say, "Well done." Stop a moment and think about that. You know, as a boy, I always wanted my parents to be pleased with what I did. I always wanted them to say, yeah, you did a good job. When I worked for an employer, I wanted to hear my employer say, man, you did a fantastic job. Didn't happen very often, but it's what I always wanted to hear, you know, is that you're a good employee, you're doing what you need to do, et cetera, et cetera. When a child of God leaves this earth and stands before the God of the universe, he will hear him say, well done. You did a good job. D.L. Moody and Billy Graham both said a similar thing. Both of them said, someday you will read that I have died, or someday you will hear that I have died. Don't you believe it? I will be more alive on that day than I have ever been in my life. When a child of God leaves this earth, they're alive. You know, the time doesn't matter anymore. To my father, the fact that it's been 53 years since he died doesn't mean anything. It won't mean anything when it's been 1,000 years, because he is alive today. He is in the presence of God today. And someday, I'll be reunited with him. When a child of God dies, he is reunited with the people he loves and he's worked with in this earth. Becky and I have served with a lot of people over the years, in a lot of little churches all over. And I really look forward to seeing some of them again. One of the things about working with older people and being pastors we have all our lives is a lot of people you know have passed from this earth. And that's okay. I'll see them again. I'll embrace them again. We'll be together again. Eternal life means having each other and being together. The Bible says you will know as you are known. We will love people and be loved by people just as we have on this earth. Now, in closing, and I'll have our musicians come up, you have a choice to make. We have free will. We are not robots. We are not controlled. We are not people who don't have a choice. You have a choice to make. You can live your life saying, it's just about me. I am God. And when you leave this earth, which you will in a short amount of time, you're going to be on your own. Or you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and live forever. This morning, as they sing, I'll be down front. If anybody here has anything that they need to pray about, to get on their knees about and get straightened out, because people, life is short. I know some people say life's short, party all you can. Well, let me say it this way. Eternity is long. You better be prepared. Come down this morning and get prepared while we sing.
Please stand.